We're looking back into our teaching again this evening, and we'll be finishing up on this area of the series, because we've been covering two chapters here as things that Jesus said about the end times, about speaking majorly about his second coming, which would be right before the millennial reign, and dealing with the time period, the tribulation. As we've been following through in this, if you'll notice the things that Jesus laid out, he laid out things concerning in the beginning of his talking about what the time period would begin to look like, the things that would be going on and happening. So actually, if you really realize how instructive Jesus was about the end times, this is one of the things that I find it's hard for me to grasp how people deal with the end times. And I mean, so much has been said about it, and it's so much things in order. How people get confused about it or don't even understand. I say, well, I don't understand it. It's almost, to me, it's hard that either people can't read, don't know what words mean, or they're really not saved. Because it don't seem like they have a teacher living in it. Because they don't know nothing. It is so simple. I think you've got to work hard not to understand this stuff. Because it's laid out so simply. And there's one thing, there's too many preconceived ideas. There's too many of men's ideas have been taught about these things instead of what Jesus said. I'm just a big believer, and you stick in line with Jesus said, and leave your own thoughts and ideas to yourself. It's the best thing. You know, all of us have ideas. We read about the Word. There's things that we hear from the Word, and we get ideas about things. But and we think, well, you know, it seems to be it's going to be this way or that way. That's our idea of it. If the Word didn't say that, it is just our idea. So don't take it as Bible because you had the thought of it. Just take what the Bible said, and that you can tell people. That you can tell people. There's been too many ideas that have been taught. We have in this, one of the things that we see, that things in this period of time, right before Jesus comes, we definitely see the difference between the church age and this period. The church age. When the church leaves, there is no church after that. There is no church. Because we're going to find that things have completely changed on how God is dealing with people. We find out that people are judged according to what they do and not by faith. If they don't do certain things, if they are not doing, then therefore they are judged on that matter whether they go to eternal life or eternal damnation. I'm glad I'm on this side. That's why this is the best age. This is the best age. When people talk about, oh, I wish I'd have lived back when Jesus was, I think, go jump. You ain't got a clue what the Bible's even saying. You don't want to go back under the law. You don't want to go live in that place. That we're living in the time of God's grace, and grace is absolutely wonderful. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. We have this grace period where we have God's power that works in us, saved by faith. And so we find that people have come along and they do things. He talks about people from the standpoint we looked at where, you know, God gave them, like we had ones that were, whatever positions they were given. One is sort of a leadership over his brothers talked about and what happens to him. He ends up, you know, getting away from the Lord because of the delay of the Lord's coming, and he ends up beating his brothers and doing getting drunk and all this stuff, and the Lord comes and gives him outer darkness. It isn't based on, well, he was a believer, he did believe in Jesus. No, he's judged completely on what he did. And so we talked about the 10 virgins dealing with that. There's a limited time to come into salvation. In other words, we find you just don't come in at any time you want to. Once Jesus returns, the door of salvation to all humanity ends. It stops at that point. It ends. Now, we're going to find this out. If we go on and study, which we're not going to this, if you would go to the book of Revelation, you would find again there's going to be a time that the period of time is going to be open again. And people need to understand this. People must respond to God by faith in some manner. They have to. Because when we have the period, what they call is the millennial reign, it's a 1,000-year period. Satan's bound, but at the end of it, Satan's going to be released. And when he's released after that time, Satan's going to tempt people again, and there's people are going to turn. Now, you have people say, why does God do that? Why does God let Satan tempt people? Because during that time period, there's going to be people born into the earth. These are physical people. They're not. This is not the church glorified people. People entering the millennial reign of Christ are going to be natural human beings born on the earth. They are going to have to respond to faith. They aren't going to end up in the kingdom of God just because they were born during that time period. They're going to have to be tempted just like we were and everybody else was. They're going to have to respond to God by faith. They're going to have to do it. It would be unjust for God to allow those people to enter the kingdom and the new heaven and new earth, and they haven't gone through anything. What would it be to do to the lambs? You see, we don't think that way. This is very hard. I find that even most ministers don't even understand or know this stuff because we're Americans and we have our idea of justice and what's right and what's wrong. We don't have God's eye. We don't think like God does. God looks at people and puts them all on the same plane. They hold it. You ain't. There's not anybody that's going to get a free ride. No one. There's people who have suffered terribly in because of their faith to follow Christ, and people who have done nothing ain't going to get in without doing something. They're going to have to get in line with the Word of God. And so God is always going to do that. So at the end of the millennial reign, we're going to find that that takes place. Now, when Christ comes, we find that, you know, we talked about, you know, certain people here that Jesus used the things concerning the kingdom, using an idea of a king who left and he gave, you know, so much money to each one of his servants. Now, what they did with what they had determined their destiny. See, it isn't more like faith. In other words, if they didn't perform, adios amigos. You know, that's different than what we're, you know, we looked at what the scripture tells about us. We're going to be judged according to what we did in the flesh, but we're not determined our eternal salvation on the basis of what we did. This is wise people telling people, you know, now's the day, today's the day of salvation. This grace period is today. People don't realize this thing is closing in to the end of it. Well, you know, if the church age doesn't really matter and everything's the same on the other side, what's the point of all this? What's the point of it? It's really odd. I don't know how people think about things, but if you sit down and read the book, we need to understand that the Church of Jesus Christ and the age of grace, it's a certain period of time that people have to respond. And if they don't, it's just like on this side. You know, we're not going to have people sitting over here. I mean, think about the fact, if you take the mark of the beast, there is no second chances. Nobody is going to take the mark of the beast and say, well, you know, I really believed in Jesus, but it was so bad and they treated me so rotten, I just had to take it. I just was so weak. Well, you're lost. It isn't like grace time. Not at all. If people take the mark of the beast, the scripture's clear. They're eternally lost. Bible says about them, God turns them over to a reprobate mind. God does. He turns them over to it. And see, people need to understand, when you enter that period, people think that, oh, I get so tired of hearing this, but it's just hard to be a Christian today. No, it isn't. You're lazy. That's what the problem is. It's easy to be a Christian today. It's going to get hard. It's going to get hard. I can send you into places in here. It's hard. But people say that, no, it's not hard to be a Christian. You know, and it's I've never understood these people. And if they have all the young people today have, young people ain't got anything else today. They got their same flesh that they like to follow, and you got to teach them not to. Amen. And grace ain't less today than it was at any period of time. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound, which shows one thing: they ain't yielding to it, and we put no demand on them to do it either. And that's why they live like they do. That's why young kids do what they do, because the adults won't do what they're supposed to do and tell them. We don't tell them that they can't go to heaven and play like hell all day. We don't tell them it ain't going to work. We need to tell them. Tell them the truth. Tell them what's going on. You know, it's an amazing. Did you? You know, there's some things that I could go over and teach about back in the flood days that people just don't understand or know. But you ever think about in the flood days? I mean, the destroyed. Everybody was destroyed. The children and everybody. Yeah. Everybody. See, people don't think about those things. They don't. You know, they get in, they just think all the bad guys. And we don't. It's our whole thought and our whole thinking about stuff that, you know, when the Bible talks in our days, just like it is when the Lord told Kenneth Hagin these last days are going to be like the last 7 days of Noah. He says going to be. Well, is it going to be like Noah's day? See, most people, they think about Noah's day. Oh, we're getting the ark and leaving. Hold it. What is going to be going on? The same kind of stuff is going on in Noah's day. Who's going to be destroyed? A whole lot of people. People don't think, we don't think in that manner. We just, we go off on our little tangent of, I'm getting on the boat. Well, I ain't getting on the boat. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to have a glorified body. The boat people stay. I think there's going to be a lot of boat Christians. They're going to stay. They're going to find out what they were doing didn't work. Christianity is not some mental thing. It's not a mental assent to anything. And we need to understand that. So there is going to be dealing in that. Just think about that period of time. There is going to be judgment. When Jesus Christ returns, he's going to be judging his people. So he talks about the ones he's given things to, what they did with it. He's going to be judging them. And we're going to find out tonight, we're going to look at the last part of it, the judgment of the nations. He's going to be judging people on there. We found out the people in the earth that haven't followed the Messiah, they're going to be removed from the earth. And so there's judgment going to take place when Jesus Christ returns at his second advent. That's not what's going to be taking place when the church leaves. We don't have that. We will have a judgment seat of Christ that we will face. It's fine, you know, for what we did to flesh. So in Matthew 25, what we have here, and we want to look at this, it says, Matthew 25, verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. The nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left hand. The right hand and left hand are very important. The right hand is the place of authority. That's where place, that's like in of any king or something that would set somebody a right hand. The scepter was always held at the right hand. It was things being a designation of power. I want you to see what he says though. What he said here, now we read this and people say, well, the nations are going to be judged. All the nations will be gathered. You need to understand, did you ever look up what that word nations means there? It's not every nation. He said the nations will be brought forth. That word is the word that is used in the scriptures. Many times it's translated Gentile or it's translated heathen. It's not talking about, it is a, in fact, in its translation meaning, it is a non-Jewish group. It's non-Jewish. The nations judging here are going to be judged. This is why. This judgment has nothing to do other than with Israel. What nations did at that time period are going to be judged of how they treated Israel. Nations are going to be judged on what they did, whether they treated Israel right or treated Israel wrong. National judgment, that's what this is about. Nations. That's why it's important, is study. People sit down and read the Bible and they think, you got to find out, you got to, you know, the Bible says study to show yourself approved. Don't say read. It says study. You know, find out what things mean and what they say. Because, see, once you understand what this says, you know what this judgment deals with and what's about. You don't know. See, people believe that this has to do, and I've heard it preached how many times, this has to do, well, this is the believers in the earth. No, this is about Israel. The nations are going to be judged what they did with Israel in here. It hasn't to do with all believers, specifically with Israel. The time period of the tribulation deals with Israel. It is not about the Gentile. The Gentiles, when the church leaves, the time of the Gentile has been fulfilled. We are living under the time of the Gentiles now. That's why it will be very difficult for a lot of people concerning accepting Christ. Because the time of the Gentile is going to be... The pull of God ain't going to be on the Gentile. Right now, the pull of God is on the Gentile. It's shifting. It's already shifting. It's shifting. People need to understand these things. And the time of the Gentile, the scriptures tell us, that'll come to a place the time of the Gentile will be fulfilled. It's the fulfillment of the Gentiles when the church leaves. Israel was given the gospel and they rejected Christ nationally, and the gospel went to the Gentile. And so when the Gentiles, which majority of the church today is Gentiles, not very much Jewish, really, comparison-wise. In fact, if you go over to the nation of Israel right now, most Jews in Israel are pagans. Most of them don't even worship God. They don't have nothing to do with God. Loads of them are atheists. They're atheistic. See, everybody has this idea that Israel is this wonderful, holy place, and you go over there. It is not. I don't know where Americans get... You know, Americans must never read nothing or figure anything. Especially American Christian, pretty stupid. They just think that, you know, when you talk about Israel, you're talking about people. Most of them have nothing to do with the law. If you figure out, do you ever run around with Jews here in the United States? Other than the Hasidic Jews, the rest of them don't believe squat. They don't believe nothing, man. They're as worldly as any group. They don't believe nothing. They think their salvation to them is based on the fact of they have Jewish, you know, descent. I'm descended from Jews. Well, you know what? God never believed that people just because they were born of Abraham's seed. He said he was going to have a seed of the stars of heaven and of the earth. The ones of the earth are the lost. They're the lost Jews that will not end up in heaven. The only Jew that will make it to heaven are the ones of the stars above, the people of faith. The Jews who are not, God don't consider them Jews. That's why he says the church, speaking of the church in the New Testament, is being Jews. We're the real Jews. Why? We're the ones of faith. We're the real ones he's looking for. Every Jew that accepts Christ is of the real faith and are the real sons of Abraham. The ones who are not are not. They're only Jew by physical birth. You don't get nowhere in God's kingdom because of the group you came from. You can be born in the nicest Christian home in town and be taught the best, but you didn't accept Jesus, you end up in hell. See, people need to understand. We got all this stuff messed up in the church world. They, you know, they make a big deal because somebody was born as a Jew. That doesn't mean they're saved. That doesn't mean they'll end up in heaven. I mean, you think all the Jews that were killed in the Holocaust or any of the, you know, they went through a bunch of different things other than the Holocaust and all that stuff. All they did, you think you're going to see them in heaven? I don't care how bad they were treated. You don't go to heaven because you were treated bad, because all these horror happened to you. There's only one way to get into heaven. Amen. The church ain't figured that one out yet. I've had preachers tell me, no, all Jews will be saved. No Jews will be in hell. I've had preachers tell me that. And I thought, me, I wonder if they're going to be in heaven. Anybody that dumb? I mean, oh yeah, they just, well, God saved, you know, all Israel will be saved. Who is Israel? Israel is a name given to Jacob, covenant name of God. That is a name of faith. God named him. In other words, the ones of faith. See, Jacob was a man of faith. And he was given that name. Israel is speaking of the ones who are of the covenant of God. The Jews that don't walk in the covenant of God, they're not saved. They're not saved. And Christians who don't walk in it ain't saved either. You know? People need to get themselves and wake up. Us Gentiles, hallelujah. God has a wonderful plan. So with the nations... So there's going to be two, it's interesting because there's two groups here in this division. There's going to be ones that are called the sheep nations and the goat nations, okay? There's going to be sheep nations and goat nations. The sheep nations are on the right hand and the goat nations on the left. You'll notice that that as we look here, is a divided group, but they're not divided by faith. They're not divided by faith. It has the division, as we go down here and look for it, the groups are going to find out that they are divided. And we're going to look at what they do. They're divided by their treatment of Israel. They're not divided by their faith. I don't care if somebody says they're a faith nation. Like we have Christian groups today that hate Israel. People don't realize how many people call them Christians that hate Israel. See, they think, you know, great Israel's evil, you know, they crucified Jesus and they hate, you know, the Israel, that God has turned from Israel. There's a lot of dumb Christians out here. A lot of dumb ministers, and they do a lot of dumb things. People have dumb beliefs. You know, and so, it's number one, not a good position to be in. You know, it is. I always say, you know, just stick on God's side. Because we find out here in verse 34, and we're going to tell you the king comes. Now, who's the king? He's Jesus. Then the king. This is Jesus. This is about when he returns with his glory, the king. This is going to be the king. He's the guy in charge. You know he's a king today? You know, most Christians don't do that. See, we talk about accepting Jesus. Most Christians, he is not their king. He doesn't have say over their life. He's not Lord. That's why we have ask Jesus into your heart. No, it says you gotta confess his lordship. You gotta believe his Lord. God raised him from the dead. You gotta confess his lordship. See, he's king. Now this is what the king's gonna do. Now, you see, nobody gets out of this just because, you know, he says, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He said, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. He said, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. He said, then the righteous. Now he's talking about, now so we're going to have a designation of what the righteous are at this time. Who is the righteous? The righteous will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? And the king, this is Jesus, will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. In other words, the treatment of the Jewish believer is going to determine the destiny of people. The treatment. The people who are righteous are the ones who treated them right. Now, we need to understand this is because this has always stood, this stands today, this same principle in the church world and dealing with the world and how the world deals with the church. Everything gets judged, folks. Don't ever get this idea. Quit listening to these preachers out here. They're telling everything, you know, this fairy tale Christianity. Everything gets judged. Now, we take the Apostle Paul. Before he was Paul, he was Saul. And this guy was a hater of Christians. And in Acts, the 9th chapter, I'm just going to read you some scriptures here, starting with the first verse. In Acts, the 9th chapter, we have here about Paul, where we deal with Paul's conversion. And then again, we're going to run into Jesus talking here. Jesus is going to talk to Saul. Now, in Acts the 9th chapter, in verse 1 says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone from around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Well, it says, and he said, who are you, Lord? The Lord said, I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. Now, did Paul ever try to arrest Jesus? Did he ever do anything to Jesus? Is Jesus lying? No. What you do to one's body, you do to them. See, you know, if somebody went up, came up to you and punched you in the arm right now, well, you would say, well, look, my head didn't hurt, so it wasn't my body that got... No, there's nothing that... No, you treat it just like they hit you in the head or any other place. See, we need to understand this is dealing with the body. Now, we as Christians, we usually don't think much about this, but you need to understand, we have a lot of Christians that are in a lot of trouble today because how they treat the body. Because the way they treat the body is the way they're treating Jesus. What did John write? John said, if you don't love the brother, you ain't got eternal life in you. You see, we look on the side, they say, oh, this bad Paul's out here killing Christians. I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of Christians that are as much murderer as Paul is because they're not walking in love with the body. And they're doing it unto Jesus. It's just the same if they did it to Jesus. So, well, we need to understand. So, Paul, here we have Saul, who's coming along. He's doing persecution. So, we see the same thing. He's being judged. Jesus said, you're doing it to me. So, we just like, so with the fact that Jesus, this is not some new kind of thing going over here where Jesus said how the nations are going to be judged. What you do to God's people, you do to Jesus. What you do to them. What you do to the body, it is God considers it's done to the head. So, understand, it's not, and this is one of the things we need to have. This is not something just going on at that time or at that time period. This is a principle that stands today. Paul got in trouble for messing with the Christians. Do you ever think about what happened? You know, people talk about 70 AD. You know why 70 AD happened? There's two reasons why 70 AD happened. 70 AD, that's when the Romans came down and destroyed the temple and did those things. There's two reasons why that happened. Number one, it was the judgment on the Jewish people for what they were doing to the Christians. They were persecuting Christians like crazy. They were killing Christians. And God let the Romans have them. Say, okay, you want the devil? You own him. Now he's your buddy. Over 1 million Jews died in one day. You see, they stood against it. There's another reason why Jerusalem fell. And that temple was torn down. Because God couldn't get the Christians in Jerusalem out of the temple, out of temple worship. They wanted to stay there and keep up temple worship. They never wanted to give it up. He had to run them out of town. The Jews always... Who persecuted Paul and gave Paul the hard time? The Jewish Christians, so-called quote Christian. They gave him the hard time all the time about it because they wanted to stay in the legalism. They wanted to keep it up. The temple down there meant all everything in the world to them. It wasn't God in you. It was the temple. You watch today. If we're still on the earth when Israel's building the temple, you'll have so many Christians running over to Jerusalem. It'll just blow your gourd. I'll tell you what, like this is some kind of big sacred and holy thing. And they'll be over there in the worship of it. They'll be there in the worship of it. Oh, this is, yeah. The Bible said this would happen and like we were supposed to be there. No, they're going to go back to that worship. But that kind of worship isn't true worship. Because they ain't going to be worshiping the Messiah. You can't worship God and please Him without worshiping Jesus. It's the only way you can do it. And they ain't going to be doing that. And they're going to be offering bulls and goats. And the Christians will be over there. Rah, rah, sis, goom, bah, you know. They'll be over there, fight, team, fight. You know. Watch them. You know, I watch Christians. They got, I'm going to Israel and I'm going to get baptized in the Jordan. Boy, that'll really change your life. I got my life changed. I got baptized into Christ. That was the biggie. I just don't get it. I need dipped in the Jordan. That's gonna really, I had people tell me, oh, that was just some kind of experience. I know the people never changed their life at all. They were still the same idiot they were. When people start thinking that natural things are gonna change your life, that that's what's gonna make it. I mean, they can hold you underwater for a week. And if you ain't got saved, you ain't born again before that happens. It ain't nothing but a dead, ignorant idiot under the water. It's like, good God, Gertie. Hallelujah. You've been baptized into Jesus. Is there anything better? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can't get more saved than that. You know, you got the whole deal. There ain't something else to have. There ain't some kind of special blessing somewhere. I've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Did he hold out and want it? I have to go to Jerusalem to get it? See, the ignorance of Christianity. And this, you know, hey, ministers, play off of this stuff. We got this special anointing oil. There is no such thing as a special anointing oil. It does not exist. We're healed by faith, not by a special oil. People get this junk and they get the, and these ministers, they sucker people. Ah, send your money. We'll send you this. We prayed over this oil. Dear Lord, I'll get you oil and I'll pray over it, but it don't matter. It still ain't going to do nothing until you act in faith. Dear God, special oil, special this. We got a piece of the stone. Yeah, from the tomb. Oh my God, that's the biggie. And we'll make you a cross and we'll put that stone in there. Oh my God, I'll tell you what. That's going to do it. Are we ever going to be blessed now? Ah, man. The tomb is a place of death. And that's where most Christians live, in the tomb. They never come out of it. We got a tomb Christianity. They can't go any further from dead on the cross to dead in the tomb. That's as far as they get. Hallelujah. The tomb's empty. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we were raised together with Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So these are the blessed. These are the ones here. They're going to be blessed because they enter in, really, to the millennial reign of Christ. These nations enter into the millennial reign of Christ because how they dealt with Israel. So that's an important time right now. See, people don't realize that concerning America right now. It's a very important time for America as a nation. To what happens to America? What happens to America when second coming of Jesus Christ? What happens to America? See, right now, America's on the completely wrong road. It's on the completely wrong road. Now, there's a lot of good people in America that know the right road. But our government? Our government loves the devil's road. But the reason we have this government, because the majority of the people in the nation love evil. That's why what exists exists. Wouldn't exist without it. It exists. Now, so we come along. We find here, just like with Paul, Jesus Christ identifies himself with the body, or we could say this, with he identifies himself with us. And see, Christians need to get that where we identify ourselves with him. The church has too much and too much theology of separation between the head and the body. They look at, they can't identify themselves with him. You know, I'm just this old sinner. See, they don't identify, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, you can easily get Christians to identify themselves with sin. Oh, you can get them to do that in a minute. They'll confess it and say it and talk about themselves like they're dirt, thinking there's some kind of humility to it. But they don't identify themselves in righteousness and in holiness. They don't reach what they are by faith in him. They don't keep that identity. He keeps himself in his identity with the body. He sees himself with the body, that this is my body. You know, I'm sold on this fact. The glorious church is not going to be this people that is just my words. They're just so perfect and everything and all that. See, a lot of people get that idea. It's not. The glorious church is the one who identifies themselves in Christ Jesus. Our glory is by faith in Christ Jesus. I have no glory of my own. I must identify with Him or I have no glory. I must identify with Him or I have no righteousness. I must identify Him. What do I have? Everything I have is because of Him. I must keep my identity. My faith and my confidence in God is based on keeping my identity in Him. If you lose that, you can't. No person has strong faith who hasn't got a strong identity with Christ. You can't have a strong faith. You will never have confidence. You can't have confidence if you see yourself as inferior. The Christians never spoke of as inferior. Just like Paul, we take the church at Corinth. If we look at the stuff that he had to deal with them and the problems in their church, and he says, don't you guys know you're the temple of God? In other words, he's trying to tell them, you don't know what you are. See, they're not identified with what they are. God, you're so great and we're so nothing. God came to earth to make us something, and we keep saying we're nothing. All he had to do was stay in heaven and not come to the earth, and we'd have been nothing. That would have been it. But he came here to make us, to make man something. He put us on the level. Just think about this. I mean, when we, maybe it's hard for us to grasp a hold of the fact that, you know, God put us at a place of fellowship with Him. Now, I want you to think about this. I mean, when you talk about superior being, I want you to think about God. We're dealing with a being that always existed. Now, I can't wrap my head around that. How could someone always exist? But nonetheless, the Bible tells us that He is always existed. He's all knowledge. He knows everything. Someone who never gets a new thought, he'll never have a new thought. If he got a new thought, then he wouldn't know everything. See, we're talking about an incredible being. We're talking about a being who is all-powerful. There is no power. There's nothing greater than Him. He's all-powerful. I mean, we look around at our universe, and I mean, today they can see out through the electron microscopes and telescopes and stuff, and they can see, and they're talking about, they look through these things, and they find light that came from somewhere out 200 billion light years. I want you to just think about that. We don't even know if that object even exists anymore out there, because that light could be coming here, but where that light was there, or whatever it is, we don't even know. We can't even think on it. People don't even think. And you know, I know this about scientists. They surely don't think on the level of anything. They're acting like everything's changed, like they know what's going on. They got a clue what's going on out here. They don't have a clue about it. When I said, Ron, do we got so much theory today? I mean, it is crazy. Talking about the center of our universe is a black hole. And that's interesting that they say it, because they don't even know what a black hole is. And this is fact. They don't know if black holes actually do exist, because mathematically they can't prove that they do, that anything like them happens. But because somebody said that's what they believe it is, then it becomes, now it's a fact. Now it's a fact, because they decided they wanted to make it a fact. Well, I'll just tell you this. When I was a kid in school, we had all these facts, these theories they taught us as facts, and today they're all wrong. Science was wrong about so much stuff, it was phenomenal when I was a kid in school to today. My God, it's a wonder those stupid people even got anything right. I mean, they run around and they theorize and theorize. And Kenneth Hagin, that's where he came along with his theories of what a theory is. A theory is a supposition based upon the ignorance of the subject in question. And I agree with him on that. That's what a theory is. People are going to get the idea of theorizing, you know, going around saying this is true and that's true and all these things. I mean, we sit today as we realize, you know, God and His creation. It's like, I mean, today, I mean, I watched not long ago a thing on TV, and they had all these brilliant guys talking, and they were talking about gravity. They were teaching on gravity. And you go through this whole brain, and they're telling you all this about gravity, all this wonderful stuff. And then they end the thing with, we actually don't know why gravity exists or what makes it work? Well, we just know what the results of what it does. And I thought, they just got done telling us for a couple hours on TV of all this stuff about gravity, and none of it they know is true. And I found out, I watched and I said to God, these people are just downright stupid. And you know what he said? He said, a fulfillment of the word. He said, I am gravity. I'm the one, the Bible says, holds things together. You know why they can't know about gravity? Because they don't know God. They can't know. They can't know. They don't know God. I truly believe this. I believe God wants to take to man and reveal him to him about this natural universe. But man's brilliance on his own and his big head has become his own God. And, you know, we had inventors years ago, but most of them were men of faith. And they invented more things. And today, we invent things. I am so tired. I go over there, read things. They say, yeah, well, you know, they invented this certain thing. And boy, in a few years, we'll be having that. And years pass, and you never hear anything about it. Not anymore. And it's gone. It never comes into fruition. It was all theory on things. And they told us all kinds of stuff. And none of it comes to pass. Before they can prove anything, and it's sort of like Christian. I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. If you're going to go out here, he said, never teach anything you can't live. He said, you prove it first, it works, before you start telling people. You see, a good scientist would do that. They don't do that. They don't prove a thing. They get a theory. And they preach their theory that they have never proved is really true. They just preach a theory. If you got something that's true, if it has truth to it, you should be able to prove the truth. Like, I got all these theories about black holes. Don't even know if it exists. It is crazy. I mean, you sit and think about it. It's just like, oh my God. They're telling us these things. They're teaching these things around here. And this all becomes great importance. We can't make nothing work here on this earth. Man's just a mess. And he's worried about a black hole, and they're spending all their time theorizing about something that don't matter to nothing. We all want to go to Mars and die of radiation sickness. That would be the great thing to do. You know, the Earth's going to get so bad, we can't live here if it gets 2 more degrees hotter. Did you know that? We're all going to die if it gets 2 degrees hotter on the planet. But we can go to Mars where it'll reach almost 500 degrees at some spots. Oh, my God, that we can go there. No atmosphere? Oh, that don't matter! I mean, one scientist, this guy who deals with radiation and all that kind of stuff, he said that most people will either die on their way to Mars or right after they get there, because we don't even have shielding for the type of radiation. We need to understand, when you leave this planet, the further you get away from the Earth, you get more radiation. Our atmosphere and things and our gravitational pull around our planet keeps, you know, God keeps radiation from destroying this planet. When you get out beyond so far, we do not have shielding to protect. So they're going to send people in spaceships who are going to get overdoses of radiation. Sounds wonderful, don't it? Maybe they get there and they could just look through each other and see their skeletons or something, you know. That'd be really exciting. I don't know. And he said, we're not ready for any kind of trip, he said, out there. He said, many of them will probably be sick by the time they arrive. But see, they keep telling us all this stuff they're going to do. They're going to do all these things. We're going to do this. You know, we're going to send you, oh yeah, we're going to send these first guys to Mars, you know, within a year or so. I mean, listen to this. We're so bad off. We're so bad off in this earth that NASA just said, they had this whole thing, we're going to send people to the moon. We're going to be doing it in 22. Sending people to the moon. Oh, they're trying to get, like, this is some big feat. I'm sorry, we did that in the 60s. And they can't even get back there. And you know what now they did? They canceled it to 2024. We need to work on some things more. We have become so dumb. We are such stupid morons. We can't even duplicate what people did. back in the 60s. Without a bunch of computers or anything. Why? Because people had minds back there. The computer wasn't their mind. We actually had people that could do math without a computer. I'm telling you, that's it's an interesting thing to find out. Today, they will tell you that's impossible. You go to college, it's impossible. You must have a computer to do your math. But see, people with lack of intelligence. I mean, just walk into a store. They can't even count the change, but it tells you how much you're supposed to give the guy. I was in today and a guy was doing that. He was having the hardest time counting out of drawer. I felt so bad for him because, you know, and it isn't sad. I mean, when it tells you what to do and he can't even do it. And he wasn't doing it. I've had that happen lots of times where people don't know how to do it. They don't. And it's sad. We've come to that where people lack of intelligence. No Christian should be in that category. Not one Christian. Christians who don't get themselves over to realize, you know, God gives us wisdom. You and I can have the wisdom of God in this earth. He said, just think about it. The Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask God. He gives it liberally. There's no reason we Christians. And, you know, he wasn't talking about just people get the idea, well, spiritual things. No, living it, you need wisdom to live here in this earth. And God will give you wisdom. That's one of the things that I found out when I got saved, one of the most blessed things, God showing me what to do with things. There's so many things that I come along, and this happens all the time. There's something will happen, go wrong, and I'm trying to figure out an answer what to do about it. And it just amazes me. Sometimes the most simple answers come, and I think, dear God, people would sit around and try to figure things out, and here's this simple answer. And I know where it comes from. It ain't Ed's a genius, and I'm smart. But all of a sudden inside of me, I know what to do. I know what to do to take care of that. And it's learning to do that, learning to listen on the inside. I didn't get to be smart. It's the smart ones living in me. Amen. And it's learning to yield to that. Learning to listen to that on the inside of us. We have a genius inside of us. It's God. Hallelujah. That knows everything. Hallelujah. I could sit and go over and talk to you 10 things that God showed me about things, about the universe and stuff already. Things that the Lord showed me. It blows my mind. You know what? Things are so darn simple. And we just work so hard that trying to come out with some kind of real genius idea or something that people think we're just so smart. I'll tell you, that isn't the way it runs. It's like Jesus told Kenneth Hagin. He said to him, if somebody's teaching you something that's hard to understand, it seems really complicated, he said, I never gave it to him. He said, because that isn't one. He says, the things that I'll do will be simple. People will be able to understand it. If a genius, a person is not genius who cannot talk to common people. What genius does he have if he can't convey his thoughts simply? He's not a genius. He's not very bright. We need to understand that. The genius is the guy who can convey his thoughts because the thoughts become useful. If only he can have them, what good are they to anybody? That was one of the great things about Einstein. Einstein could convey what he knew. That's what made him so smart. They thought, many of the scientists even today thought he was too simple. They tried here back about 10 years ago, they started this thing, saying they're going to disprove him. They came out with all these new theories, and now they proved that he's been right all the time. Relativity's been right on. All this stuff's been right on. Oh, and he couldn't be that smart. He didn't have a computer. So he couldn't, because the computers say this, and the computers will pump out anything the idiot puts in it. It will not pump out anything other than what the person put in it. And if the guy didn't know nothing who put the stuff in, he ain't going to get nothing out of it. Einstein would have been the genius to know what to put in it. But Einstein was a guy who, it's the thing amazing me, because you find people who are like that. Without that, they have a genius about themselves. And lots of times, it's based on simplicity of how they think about things. There's a guy right now who's a mathematician. Supposed to be really a genius guy. He's in his late 30s, and he's really a genius. And he sat down and mathematically He said, I don't know how what it is, but anyhow, he mathematically proven that the earth was created. And in mathematics, he has gone to every sky saying so-called genius and that, to prove him wrong. And nobody can prove his math wrong. Nobody can prove it wrong. They don't like to talk about it, and they're mad at him. They don't like it. Because he has proven. You'll find that out about math, though. If things don't like, you know, because you find out. God used math all through the Bible. It proves things out. And he proved things out, and he's had people, and he has gone to people, and he's telling them, prove me wrong. If I'm wrong, you prove it to me. And there's places and stuff won't even look at it because they don't want to get near it. Because some people tried and it didn't work. They found out, yeah, what he's saying is true about things. It's, you know. And people don't like that. But hallelujah. Praise God. Wisdom. We find here in this thing that we're looking at, we look down because we're going to find we have the judgment of the nations, then we look at who blessed and walked with God. And then we're turning around, we're going to have the ones here, really the curse. We're going to look at the goat side on verse 41. It says, then he will also say to those on the left hand, in verse 41, depart from me, you cursed. Now he called them cursed. He said, you're the cursed ones. He said, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. This is one thing in here. Satan, when people look up, say like hell and that kind of stuff, hell was never made for mankind. It was made for the devil and his angels. Men go there by choice. They go by there because that's where they're placed. Man goes there by choice. It was never created for man. He said, for I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. He said, I was stranger, and you did not take me in, and naked, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or stranger, or naked, or sick, in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer and say to them, as surely as I say, and as much as you did not do it to one of the least of these you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal, to everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So here we see the righteous are rewarded. In other words, reward, righteousness and reward are determined by actions and not by faith. It's what you do. So this is what we see. In the end, what they do is going to determine what they do. So we really see a lot of difference. And that's why it's looking at these things as people. That's why it's identifying the difference between the church and what we're talking about when we're talking about these things at the end of the age. Because there's ministers and stuff who teach, you know, that the church is going to go through the tribulation. And the church, the tribulation is about purifying the church. Jesus said, the believer is purified by the word. Somehow, Christians, some believe that we're going to be purified by being beat up and whatever else is. That's going to purify the church. That's the purification of the church. Well, it's an unscriptural. That's how we're going to get, you're going to have to get beat up to be purified. Well, I want you to think about that. Well, then wouldn't that be the way in heaven also? If you're going to stay perfect, you're going to need beat up good. So God's going to be beating people up in heaven, I would assume. See, as people get these ideas of what's going on, they don't realize that what is going on during the tribulation period is judgment. It's not purification. It's judgment. This is about judgment, folks. The church misses, you read these things. Is this purification? If that was purification, then we should be praying for God just to cause awful things to happen in our nation. We should be praying for that. You know, these people believe in that, you know. It's why would they have the nerve, those same people, those ministers, if they get some of the last people in the congregation to pray for them when they have problems? Well, what did I pray for you? You need beat up good. If God straighten you out, you moron. You know, what's wrong with you? Why would you ask us to try to get you out of trouble? I'm going to pray you get more trouble than you can stand, buddy. You need to get straight. You know, it is just totally ridiculous. God, kill him or make him wish he were dead. I don't know. I just, it's like, what do we do with this? Do you ever think about those things? When people say these things, it just, I mean, they live lives that are proof they don't believe or act. They don't act like that. I hope they don't get judged according to their words. Amen. God judges them according to their words. They're in trouble. Amen. I don't want to. I'm going to take this grace thing. I need it. I need the grace thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's working in us. And see, we need to see this. Number one is about yourself. It's one thing to say in closing this, is one thing is about yourself. If you look at the things in that period of time, one of the things that people need to do is following the Word, because the word will keep, like with them in that period of time, will keep them informed of what's going on. But it's another thing is I see people have gotten away from it a lot in the church world today, especially among what we call Spirit-filled people, who talk about confessions. People do terrible in the areas of confession. Especially when things start going through trouble, I notice this. Christians start, just like from when this COVID stuff started, I watch the Christians become complainers and talking about stuff and talking negative about things and talking about stuff all the time. And that you can't do that. You can't, because you're going to have what you say. So that's what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say you'll have what you believe. He said you're going to have what you say. And it's learning to confess. See, it's one thing as I've learned to do. I have no fear about COVID. I don't have no fear about COVID shots. I have no fear about, I'm going to tell you, anything ain't going to hurt me. Amen. Well, they might force you to do something. Who cares? You know, all this worry and fear over this stuff. And it ain't nothing but worry and fear. God ain't big enough to take care of us. God, right now, the church is going nowhere because it's focused on shots, on government problems, and this group doing this. And I don't care down in Washington. Number one, they're fussing and fighting down there. Me watching what's going on and walking around and complaining about that stuff is doing nothing for me or anybody. We're the Church of Jesus Christ. There's a world going to hell. They aren't going to Washington. They're going to hell. Well, that might be Washington. But anyway. We need to understand, we need to reach people for Jesus Christ. The church needs to crawl out from under the rock they've been living under and stand up and be the church. We're not afraid. We're not worried. We're not out to hurt anybody. We're out to see people come to Jesus. I'm not worried about sinners are acting like sinners. My God, who'd ever think? Down in Washington, they're acting like hell. Well, sure they are. Ain't nothing but a bunch of sinners down there. Needs saving. Amen. Fighting and fussing over all of this stuff. It don't matter. I don't care about the shot there. I didn't want to hear nobody talking about it anymore. I'm tired of it. Force them all to take the shot. I'm tired of it. It's like, dear God, scared people. Well, I don't know. I'll grow a third ear if I get it. Or I don't know. I'm not getting nothing. I'm not afraid of anything. This whole darn thing. Well, it's going to hurt me. Well, it probably will. For the last 8 months, loads of Christians have been blabbing their mouth about this shot. It's going to hurt them. I hope they don't have to take it. Because they may get what they said with their mouth. Confessing it's going to hurt them. That's why you don't hear me ever talking negative about that stuff. I refuse to. Because I tell you what, I learned from Kenneth Hagin. He said, I don't talk about sickness and disease. I don't talk about it because I ain't taking it. If you drink any deadly thing, it ain't going to harm you. Well, if I get any shot, it ain't going to harm me either. You know, I remember when our kids were going to school, and there was people back then about shot stuff, you know, taking shots. You know, I just listened in my heart on the inside, and I thought, yeah, they required them to take a shot. I thought, I ain't fussing over this. My kid, these shots ain't going to hurt my kids. They ain't going to hurt them. You know, these knuckleheads out here fighting, you know, over this thing, you know, about polio shots. I'm going to tell you what, I lived during the polio days. I saw how many people ended up with polio. And you know what? That vaccine saved a lot of people. And I want you to know this. There's many people on this earth, if they don't get the shot, they're going to die. Right now in Pennsylvania, 97% of the people dying in Pennsylvania from COVID are people who either have not had their, have only been partially vaccinated or not vaccinated. 97%. Sinners ain't got nothing but the shot. And if people are running around trying to tell them not to get it, you better be able to keep them alive, or I think Jesus might get you for murder. We better stop this stupid nonsense. This crazy stuff that's going on out here. People sitting around, what chance do those people have? What do they have? What do you have to offer them? See, people around talking this negative junk all the time. They need to be very careful about what they say. See, we've got so tied up in the world. The church is so tied to the world. And what they see, oh my gosh, this is to most Christians, this is like the mark of the beast. This ain't the mark of the beast. Oh, the government's trying to take over. Why? The Republican Party wants to take over, and they're all, you know, jumping on board with that. And they're just as dumb as the other party. It's my side's the best. I'm going to tell you, Jesus' side's the best. And you know what? He ain't Republican and he ain't Democrat. Thank God. Hallelujah. That's who I'm voting for this year. I'm voting for Jesus. I'll tell you what. He's the only guy that's worth getting in. I'll tell you. I wouldn't trust me in there either. I'll tell you. I'd just say, Lord, kill them all. I'll tell you. I just... They're all crazy. Hallelujah. See, we can't afford to lose our joy. We can't afford to do it. And most Christians have lost their joy. They're worried at the time. You know, the Bible said, Jesus said, men's hearts are going to fail them for the fear of the things coming on earth. He didn't say things getting them, just afraid because what they see. That's the church. Scared by what they see going on. Scared. They don't know it's going to hurt them. They're running around complaining things going to hurt them when ain't nothing hurt them. That's what the devil does. He gets you scared when there's nothing to be scared of. He knows how to do it. He'll turn around getting your mind and ideas. Oh, this could happen to me. If that happens, oh, this is going to happen. That's gonna... You know what? Most people's fears never come to pass. But they live and still. I want to tell you what. Man's fears are 1,000 times worse than the shot. 1,000 times worse than the shot. I refuse to be afraid. I refuse it. I can't go there because you cannot be a person of faith and be afraid. It doesn't work. The two don't go together. You can't do it. You know, not getting the shot is not faith. It's not faith. Like people think, well, if I don't go to the doctor, you know, I'll have faith. There's no proof I have faith. Man, I buried people who didn't go to the doctor. I've done their funerals. Ain't no faith in not going or going. Faith is following what you believe in your heart and say with your mouth. That's faith. See, a person can go to the doctor by faith. You know what? A person can take the shot by faith. There's a lot of Christians can't. If they were forced to take it, they have a big mouth that's God done said a lot of things that ain't going to be good. Ain't going to be good. Ain't going to be good. Watch what you say. Watch what you walk around and say. See, we haven't guarded our mouth. We'll never. You can't walk around and not guard your mouth and then get over in prayer. And change a darn thing. You'll change nothing. It'll be another wind blowing over there. I tell you, my heart goes out to people in this nation. People are dying, leaving this earth, going off to hell, and Christians are fighting over a shot. They need shot. Worried about the things that don't matter at all. Have no eternity on their minds at all. Talking about believers and really faithless. I don't want to go there. I want to go that place. I just had the opportunity to sort of straighten a preacher out who's graduating the same school I did and everything. Get over into stuff, talking things, saying things they should never be saying. And then asking you to pray. And I had to tell him, I wasn't going to pray for you. I said, I can't pray for you for what you're talking and saying. I can't pray for you because it's unscriptural. Right, they get fearful of the things that are happening. And they want you to pray. I can't pray out of fear. I can't pray because I'm scared. Because it'll never work. It'll never work. And I'll tell you what, heaven is not hearing most prayers today because they're rising out of fear of the things going on the earth. They're based upon what men said, men's fearful hearts. Heaven is moved by faith when you step up and say, you know what, God? It's ugly down here, but you're bigger than ugly. Hallelujah! You're just downright glorious. Lord, I'm not going to be afraid here. I refuse to fear, Lord God. Why? Because I have you to trust in. Hallelujah. They ain't killing me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That ain't happening. You know, I'll give my life for the gospel, but they ain't taking it.
Amen.
We're not going to be afraid. We're going to walk in confidence. Hallelujah.
Amen.
People need people out here today. Somebody who's not afraid of what's going on. Somebody, when the tough time's going, they ain't panicking and wringing their hands. They want somebody that's walking wrong, still can have a smile on their face, offering some kind of hope. Not preaching the same doom and gloom, you know, whether it comes from Fox or, you know, Newsmax or whoever else is throwing their stuff out there, telling you every day all the negative things that this group did. And this guy's telling you that. Then you go over to the other side and they're telling you. And it's just a bombardment back and forth of all stuff that don't amount to nothing. If they shut them down tomorrow, to me, I think that was heaven working. My God. Because what they say, it doesn't matter. One side accusing the other. One side this accusing. All accusations. What does it matter? None of it means anything. It changes nothing. You know, finding out all the problems there is that the solution? That's all. They live off of that. They live and make millions of dollars a year. People do. Reporters making millions a year. These people have contracts that sit and do this stuff and make $12 million a year to sit and tell you all kind of garbage from one side to the other, throwing garbage back and forth and get paid that kind of money. And every time we watch it, it earns them more money. Because the more people watch it, the advertising gets paid more. More they have to pay for advertising. And it just eats up and goes on. It just keeps those things going wrong. But it changes nothing. Hallelujah. I got a good news book. I got a book that's done told me my history, my past, and my future. And what I can do right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And we can know. And you know, they're talking negative stuff and they're talking all this junk. I'll tell you what. Those people need as much prayer as you do for Biden. They're as messed up. They're caught up in this trap. And it is a trap. It's a trap of the devil just to keep promoting hate to each other back and forth. Just hate going on. They make an accusation, we make an accusation. They make an accusation, we do one. Just back and forth. Is there any Christian in that? Don't return evil for evil. If you watch it, you will start turning evil for evil. It irritates you, don't it? I can't afford it. You can't afford to do it. Hallelujah. We got to keep smiling. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to smile. We're going to keep walking. We're going to believe God. Hallelujah. He's bigger than all this stuff.
Amen.
COVID will not be stopped by man. I'm just going to tell you. You know what? If this hatred stuff would come to an end, we'd see a lot of stuff come to an end with that.
Yeah.
Just that in itself. It is driven by evil and fear. And Christians don't realize, you know, online I was looking thinking these people down there demonstrating, they're down there fighting, no, they're not demonstrating, holding a demonstration over the things about, you know, the mandate about the shots and working. I'm thinking, I'm looking at this thing, I'm thinking, this is the big important thing that people are doing, is fighting about whether I have to take the shot or don't have to. That becomes the big thing. Now, a lot of people find that's kind of a moral kind of thing. I have free speech. Oh, I don't want to use my free speech. I'd say too many things that should never be said. Please don't ever give me free speech. God, don't ever tell me I can say what's on my mind, because sometimes my mind gets stupid. Let's talk out of the inside a little bit. That isn't good. It's Gideon. But see, people are here. Well, we're going to fight. We're going to go out here in this way. What would they do out here? So I'm thinking these people, you know, and they have the righteous thing. I'm thinking, you know, could we get excited about God like that, that we would go out and stand? And could we get excited about reaching the lost or something? Could we do that? No, we're going to fight over a shot. I mean, Christians are dying of the shot from COVID just as fast as the world does. There's no difference between the two. They die at the same rate. I mean, that's run. And Christians, I mean, when I was out at Randy's meetings there the last time, the guys told me his entire church, every adult in his church had caught COVID. And these people are supposed to be faith people, and everybody. And I'm like, I said, everybody. I said, couldn't you? Everybody. I mean, some of them really got sick. But all of them got COVID. He said, yeah. He said, I don't know. He said, I don't know what happened or what went wrong. But he got talking about things, and they're fighting about the COVID stuff. And I thought, well, I know exactly what's going on. Your faith ain't going to work doing that stuff. You can sit and say, talk all this faith in what you believe all you want. But you're going to sit around and fight about this stuff. Forget it. Your faith ain't going to work. Jesus done fought COVID for us. I ain't fighting COVID. Hallelujah. He took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. See, we're fighting a battle, and really it's a losing battle, because it's a battle that's already been fought and won, but the church is acting like it wasn't. We're acting like Jesus isn't King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We get our actions. See, we can sit and talk about all the day about what we believe, but our actions are going to put us over or put us under. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when you got the right words saying and the right actions, man, I'm going to tell you got something that's going to blow up for God. Hallelujah. Let's act like Jesus is King and King, Lord and Lord. Let's stay out of these fights and battles that don't amount to nothing. Anyhow, it don't matter. Let people fight them. You know, I had to talk to this minister about the thing, because, you know, they're scared to death of this. They make you take the shot. And I told him, I said, any shot is going to bother me, I don't care. I said, I'd take a dozen of them. It wouldn't matter. I don't care what they... I don't care. They ain't going to hurt me. I said, you believe they're going to get you? They will. They ain't going to hurt me. See, we're not using faith. People not using faith. They're not using any faith. They're afraid. I mean, what if something really serious happened? All this stuff we're worrying about, all these things. Man, I tell you what, I believe in rest. And faith comes to a place of rest. And right now, most people are not at rest, so they're not at faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have a good future, and it's in the hand of Jesus Christ. And you belong to Him, and you're in Him. If you ain't safe in Him, you ain't got no safety in Him. It don't matter. If it ain't safe enough to be in Jesus, we might as well just throw the towel in and say, Lord, take us home. Hallelujah. But we can stay here, and hallelujah, and live gloriously, act gloriously, hallelujah. Bless others, hallelujah, and help others. Glory to God. I want to be a blessing to people. I don't want to be a curse. If a person, and I tell anybody, if you think you need to have the shot, then you take the shot. If you believe that's what you believe, you'd be all right. You trust God doing it. You're far ahead of the guy that's running and hiding from it and scared to death. You're way ahead of him. See, we're turning around, crown people. We're drawing sides, and we're trying to make things here. I'll tell you, we're doing as fast as they can to make enemies. We can't do that to people. Hallelujah. You know, I realize this. Where I stand in faith don't mean everybody else can stand there in faith. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to help them get whatever they can. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to condemn them. I mean, the ones who are talking stupid are already condemned. They condemn themselves and their stupidity. We're not going to go there. Hallelujah. Love people. Don't run them down, give them something. People need something. They need some help. They don't need to fight. They're hearing it. They got enough people talking about this stuff. They don't need any more in the crowd. Father, I just want to thank you. Father, if anything we do is we need wisdom, because Lord God, there's people around us that surely do need help. They don't know what to do, and many of them don't know who to look to even for help. Lord God, they don't even know who to look to for encouragement. Lord God, Lord, because so many people have been raised in discouragement. They have been raised in messes, Lord God, and they don't know you. And Lord, to their life, they're just trying to get by. And a lot that they do, it people think, oh, they're just doing terrible. But Lord God, they don't know any other way. They have nothing else. Lord God, we're so blessed. Somebody got across to us. Somebody preached the word to us. We heard and we came to the truth. And Lord God, we didn't come to the truth and we weren't saved because of our great wisdom. But Lord God, you drew us by the Holy Spirit and you revealed Jesus to us. And Lord God, we would just responded to it. Hallelujah. And have changed lives. And Lord, we want others to have the changed life too. Father, I don't want to see people have to wait and go through the tribulation period. I want to see hordes and hordes of people leave this earth when Jesus comes for the church. That's what I want to see, Lord. And Lord, show us how we can reach out with our faith to take a hold of people, to help bring them up, Lord God, not put them down. To bring them up, Lord God, to a place where they can stand, they can call on your name. Lord Jesus, you're the Savior, we're not. Holy Spirit, you're the one who convinces and convicts the world of sin, we don't. But Lord, Holy Spirit, hallelujah, move in us to preach the word. Move in us to speak the truth to people, hallelujah. And tell them, Lord God, that they know that we're not speaking to hurt them, we're speaking to help them, Lord God. They know the truth because only the truth is what makes men free. That's the only thing that'll work. And I want to thank you, Lord God, you're going to use us. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're going to be like Abraham when you sent him to the land you sent him to. You said, you go there and I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. I want to thank you, Lord, you've blessed us in this land. Now, Lord, we're going to be a blessing. Hallelujah. We're going to be a blessing to this nation. Lord God, we're not going to curse this nation. We're not going to throw this nation under the bus. Lord God, we're going to bless and bless the people. Lord God, we're going to reach the ones that are ugly and, Lord God, that even look evil, don't matter. Lord God, we were in the same condition. We were in the same place of life. Lord God, you reached out to us. And I thank you, Father God. Lord God, for all the changed lives that we're going to see. All the glory that's going to be revealed in humanity, Lord God, because of your great grace being poured out in this day and this time. And we just thank you, Lord God. Thank you for a part that you can use us. That Jesus Christ is glorified. That men are drawn to Jesus. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, you're going to do marvelous and wonderful things. And I just want to say, thanks for giving us a part and a place in this day and time. Thank you for using us. We know you're not using us because we did anything great to deserve it. Lord God, we just want to be available servants. That's it. We're just available servants to serve our Master. Hallelujah, because you're so wonderful and good and you've been so kind to us. We're not serving by works because we're looking for brownie points. We're not looking for anything. We just want to bless because we've been made a blessing. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.